Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Brandon. I am one of the pastors here. It's great to be celebrating Christmas with you tonight. Just after the Great Recession in 2008, this uncoordinated movement started in churches all around the country. Churches unaffiliated with each other started trying to find ways to help people talk more and focus their Christmas around Jesus, not the crazy consumer holiday where we spend beyond our means to get our loved ones a sweater they're never going to wear. I say it was an uncoordinated movement in human terms, but it really seems that the Holy Spirit was up to something, was working in hearts around the country to get us to focus back on Christmas as Jesus' birthday. So a few pastors from St. Louis and Portland and Houston get together, and they start to put words and thoughts around what the Holy Spirit was doing, and so they called it the Advent Conspiracy. This movement to build four thoughts, to build four habits into our lives, to take us back to Christmas as this joyful celebration of Jesus' birth, of Emmanuel, God with us, the celebration that enriches our hearts and the world around us, not this retail circus that depletes our bank accounts and defeats our spirits. The four thoughts are as follows. We worship fully because Christmas begins and ends with Jesus. We seek to lean into our faith when curveballs come our way, just like Mary did that very first Christmas. We spend less to free up our resources to spend on things that truly matter and move God's heart. We ask questions about our spending habits and change them because we know our spending has the power to bring light or darkness, and our spending can be the light to push back the darkness in the world. We give more of our hands and our words and our heart. We give gifts of relationship at time and time because those are the things we all remember as gifts that we love. And finally, tonight, the last habit in this Advent conspiracy, we worship fully, we spend less, we give more, so that we can love all, including and especially the poor, the sick, and the forgotten. And we are in a world that is in desperate need of people to show what it really looks like to love all, even the people we disagree with and we don't really like all that much. As the classic song says, they will know we are Christians by our love, by how we treat each other, by how we treat brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as strangers. 15 years ago, the Black Eyed Peas released a song entitled, "Where is the Love?" And they're reflecting on the violence and pain and suffering in the world at that moment. And the song never answers the question. They never tell you where the love can be found. It's supposed to be a challenge for all of us to reflect the love that we want to see in the world. The song was re-released again just 2 years ago because guess what? We're a world that still needs love. We know the world. We know people that we see every day that need to be loved, that are in desperate need to want to be loved. And it's up to us to show it. It's up to us to do acts of love every day to show that we indeed care. And if you spend time in your Bible much at all, you're soon going to find that Christians are supposed to be the ones known for their acts of love because God first loved us by coming to earth as a baby to save us from ourselves. The Christmas story that we love, with angels and shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the baby and the wise men and the donkey named Seesaw, are found in Matthew and Luke in our Bibles. In the book of John, we don't get any of our favorite characters, but the few little bits that we get about Jesus coming to earth are some of the most powerful passages, and one is the most memorized passage in Scripture. In the midst of a story about what it means to be born again, to have new life, to be transformed, we get this. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." And we tend to think of a judge as one who hands out punishment, as the one who hands out punishment for those that have done wrong, and you get rewards if you do things right. But in Scripture, so often judgment was not primarily about rewards and punishments or balancing the scales of justice, but judgment was about fixing what's broken and making things right. Friends, that is Christmas. That's what the baby came to do. The baby came to fix what's broken, us, and to make things right again. God sent Jesus as a baby, not just so we can have a heartwarming, sentimental holiday, Now hear me, it's absolutely okay to bask in the glow of the season, of the heartwarming traditions, enjoying time with family we don't get to see very often, of getting dressed up, putting on a tie, eating and drinking together. But our view of Jesus cannot stay as Jesus as a baby. As the great theologian Ricky Bobby of Talladega Nights put it, I like the Christmas baby Jesus the best. At one meal, he prays, dear 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, but so cuddly, yet omnipotent. A baby is cute to look at, but it doesn't challenge us to confront everything that we might believe in. We can look at the baby Jesus and just move on with our lives as normal. But the baby came to save us, to fix what is broken, and to make things right again. This baby saves us in the past and in the present and in the future. Jesus saved us in the past by dealing with our sins, our imperfections, through his life, death, and resurrection, inaugurating this kingdom that breaks through just a little bit every day. Jesus saves us in the present today as we yield ourselves to him every morning and we join his mission of acts of love to friends and family and strangers. And Jesus will save us in the future when God fully and completely establishes this kingdom where there will be no more tears or death ever again, ever. The baby in the manger saves us by doing all of this and shattering our expectations and our categories and transforming our lives. Malachi, the prophet in the Old Testament, was talking about the Savior that was going to come, the Savior that would be a refiner's fire. And we're not just talking about a sweet little candle on Christmas Eve, but a blazing fire. And we've seen over this last year the kind of destructions that fire can create. But fire can also bring about transformation and change. And that's what Malachi talks about when he's discussing Jesus' arrival. Jesus can bring incredible change and transform us. Jesus makes a way so we can stand in God's presence. Jesus gives his life away and takes away our sin. Jesus wants to take away everything in our lives that's holding us back in our relationship with him and to lead a full and complete life now and today and in the life that is yet to come. Friends, enjoy this season of heartwarming traditions. Let your hearts be filled with hope. Experience the joy and wonder of the season and soak in the peace that the baby brings. But friends, brace yourself. Jesus has come to change the world, and it starts with you and with me. This story of Christmas, this reality of God coming to earth as a human being, this should blow our minds every single year. It is unbelievable that the God who could stand and rule over us with an iron fist as a king chose to become one of us, a human being, a baby born in poverty. Instead of ruling as a dictator, he walks with us as one of the poor, leading a nonviolent movement of love, pointing people back to God, this God who desperately wants to be in relationship with every one of us. Christmas changed the world. It changed everything. And Christmas still has the power to change the world today, especially if we choose to love all. Now, years after Jesus walked the earth, John challenged Christians to live like they actually, really, duly, do, and truly love all. John writes, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves we've passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates any brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave his life for us. So we also ought to live for our brothers and sisters and give up our lives. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show our truth by the truth, by our actions. If we indeed say we follow Jesus and we say we want to love all, it requires much more than talk. It requires us to act, to actually do something about it, to make changes in our lives, and to show it by what we do that we love all. This is the let me see it passage. If you really do love all, then you're going to show me by the way you live your life. It's time to pony up. And once I see you do it, then I'm going to actually believe you love all because I see you helping the poor, the forgotten, the sick, the outcast, and those people whoever that might be for you. This baby who grows up to save us from ourselves, from our own destructive tendencies, didn't just do it so we can go to heaven one day. We are people saved to do something right now. We live in a world with all kinds of darkness, and we're called to go to the dark places and to bring light. Jesus came as the light of the world and to show us the way, and we're called to go in the dark, to bring Jesus with us and to show people how to get out of the darkness. In small and large ways, we are called to change the world. No big deal, no pressure, but friends, that is our charge. Jesus gives us some very simple and practical ideas of how we can do this, how we can change the world, how we can love all. Jesus said one day, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. And I was sick and you cared for me. And I was in prison and you visited me." These are really simple acts of service, providing food and drink, welcoming somebody, visiting a person in need. As simple as these gifts are, they matter much to Jesus. So start here. Sometimes these small acts are going to be combined with huge global strategies to eradicate hunger and provide clean water, but they start as simple, common sense acts of love that together make an enormous difference. Years ago, my family was at a gas station, and they're getting a snack, and they saw a woman with a piece of luggage who obviously was trying to go somewhere, and she didn't know how to get to her next destination. She needed a ride, and she didn't have the money to get the ride. Now, this was the pre-Uber, pre-Lyft days. So the attendant called a taxi for her, gave her $4 for a ride, and said, "Merry Christmas." And this woman cried for a good 5 minutes while my kids watched this entire scene unfold. That $4 given by that gas attendant that Christmas Eve night changed the world for that woman. All it took was $4. When Jesus describes his kingdom breaking into the world, he uses imagery like a tiny seed. It might seem insignificant. It might seem like it can't grow into anything. It might seem like it doesn't matter on a global scale, but sure enough, this tiny seed grows into a tree that houses life. It's like a tiny bit of yeast that works its way into all the dough and changes all the dough. Seemingly small acts of love that we don't even give a second thought about are part of God's redeeming work in the world, leading us to a kingdom with no tears, no pain, no death, that will never end. One of my favorite television shows growing up in the 90s was Quantum Leap. In our eras of reboots and revivals, I'm really looking forward to this one coming back around again. It's the story of a scientist named Sam, and he travels through time putting things right that once went wrong. He can't go home again, because it seems like God, fate, or time, or whatever, wants him to set things right. I'm a sucker for any kind of show that has faith and science in it, so this one is written for me. The series finds him leaping around in time, seemingly with no connection at all. He's putting really small things right, really small things on a global scale. He puts families back together. He reconciles lost loved ones. There's an opening in one episode where he saves a cat out of a tree. Really nice stuff, but they were really small acts. He was picturing himself doing much bigger, globally important things. At the end of the series, Sam chats with God that he wanted to change the world, but not one life at a time. And God replies, "Do you really think all you've done has changed a few lives? You've done more. The lives you've touched have touched others, and those lives, others. You have done a lot of good, Sam." Changing the world one act of love at a time is how Jesus' kingdom breaks into the world every day. A family that decides to serve a meal over the holidays for those needing one, the world has changed for them. A single parent adopted anonymously by someone providing toys for kids, groceries, gas cards, that's the world being changed. A gas station attendant giving $4 to a woman in need of a ride, that's the world being changed. A church raising $50,000 to combat homelessness in their community and starting new churches around the area where more people can learn how to love like Jesus, that's the world being changed. That is how we love all. That is Christmas still changing the world. 1 John tells us, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God, Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. All of these acts of love we perform, large and small, are rooted in this great act of love we celebrate at Christmas. God sending his son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. The acts of love we perform are rooted in eternity. It leaves a legacy. It leaves an impact far beyond the immediate food or shelter or clothes or shoebox or meal that we provide at the moment. Friends, the advent, the arrival of our Savior is the moment on which all of our hopes rest. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When we love as we have been so outrageously loved, Christmas is meaningful again and bring change to our world and our lives. Now, you might have grown up with the story of Jesus all your life, the story of Christmas, of God coming to earth as a baby. But don't let it pass by as yet just another thing you do during the year, and yet just another thing, and you don't change as a result of it. Jesus has come to change the world, and it starts inside you and me. John reminded the Christians in his day, there were many who missed the Savior's arrival. There were many who missed God coming to earth as a human. The true light, this is Jesus. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world didn't see Jesus. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't recognize him, didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Several years ago, Washington Post columnist Gene Weingarten conducted what he called an experiment in perception. He set out to answer this question in an unexpected setting at an inconvenient time: would beauty transcend? Would people notice? People running around through their day, would they see this beautiful thing? He enlisted the help of world-renowned violin virtuoso Joshua Bell and convinced him to play in a bustling DC metro station during rush hour. Bell plays a handcrafted 1713 Stradivarius violin worth $3.5 million. Just days before, he'd sold out Boston Symphony Hall, where tickets were going for $100 a seat, because he got to pay for that violin. So there he was, treasured talent, playing his treasured instrument in a metro subway like a common street performer. Would anybody notice? Would they perceive the beauty? In the 45 minutes he played that day, over 1,000 passengers came by, 27 people stopped to drop a little change in his hat, totaling $32.17, long way to pay for the violin. 7 people stopped at any given length of time to take in the beauty of the moment. One person out of those 1,000 plus recognized who he was. In the routine of the everyday, in the rush of the moment, almost everybody failed to perceive. So friends, this Christmas, don't let this Advent, the arrival of our Savior, of love embodied, pass as just another thing you do during the year. Take just a moment to pause and look at the radical choices of love made during that first Christmas. Look again at the story you've seen repeated every single year of your life and pause long enough to let it transform you. I mean, look again at Joseph. His reputation is trashed in honor of the woman he loves and the God that he serves. Yet he chose to commit. He chose to love. So he will raise the one that will raise the dead. He'll teach the Creator how to be a carpenter. He will show God what it means to be a man. But tonight, Joseph will enjoy the moments of peace that come. Look again at Mary. From the first moments of this whole endeavor, she's been in uncharted waters, and things won't get any easier from here. Yet, see, she says yes. She chose to love. Time moves too quickly for any mom, even more so when your baby is born for a rescue mission like this. But tonight, Mary will ponder it all in her heart, and she'll cherish every moment. And look again at the baby. Look close. Take him in, because friends, this is our redemption. This is our Savior. This is beauty arriving at an inconvenient time in an unexpected setting as the masses rush by. Don't miss it. May we be the people that choose to love all, and we will show it by our actions, to be open to God changing the world, and for that change to begin inside us. Let us pray together. Loving God, there are simply no words to thank you for sending Jesus, for coming as one of us to rescue us from our brokenness, our stuckness, and our sin. May we show others the way to you by our love for all, including and especially the poor, the outcast, the lonely, and the forgotten. You have lavishly loved us, so may we reflect a tiny fraction back in our actions toward each other and towards you. It is in the Savior's name that we pray together. Amen.